There's a pasuk in Tehillim on Perek Memtes Pasuk Hey. David HaMelech writes, Ate l'mashal ozni. I will bend my ear to a mashal, to a parable. Eftach b'chinar chidasi. With a harp, I will solve my riddle. I will solve my riddle with a harp, says David HaMelech. Very, very cryptic pasuk, but very interesting pasuk. David HaMelech is sort of saying that if you want to figure out my riddle, the answer to who I am, the way to define me and by extension to define yourselves, look at my harp. And my harp will give you that ability to comprehend who I am. Eftach bechinar chidasi. I will solve my riddle with a harp. It's sort of like David HaMelech is giving us putting us on a scavenger hunt, putting us on a hunt for a treasure, and he's giving us a map with some clues and trying to allow us to think a little bit as to find the treasure that lies beneath David HaMelech and the treasure by extension that lies beneath all of us. Because if we're able to figure out what makes David HaMelech tick, then we could figure out what makes us tick. If David HaMelech is saying that I'm going to open up my riddle, I'm going to solve my riddle with a harp, that means that the harp is the hint that he's giving us. And if we're able to examine and explore the issue of a harp, we would somehow be able to understand who David HaMelech is. And the question is, what in the world does a harp have to do with figuring out who David HaMelech is? Of course, a harp is what we always associate David HaMelech by. If you look in any images, any portraits of David HaMelech, I would reckon that you would never, ever find an image of David without a harp. There's a famous picture that's on the cover of a lot of Svarim. There is a manuscript, a very famous one, perhaps one of the most famous illustrated manuscripts called the Rothschild Miscellany. And there is a beautiful picture of David HaMelech playing a harp. And many, many pictures. David HaMelech is a harp. Everybody knows. Rabbi Eisenberg just showed a picture of the Art Scroll Tehillim, and on the cover of the Art Scroll Tehillim is embossed a harp. A harp is David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is saying that if you want to understand me, you have to understand the harp that comes along with me. So let's try to spend an hour this morning figuring out the mystery that David HaMelech is saying. This riddle that David HaMelech is saying will be solved by the harp. Let's try to understand that. The great Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz has a sefer called Yaris Devash. Yaris Devash means forests of honey. It's a pasuk. We just darshened it in the Daf Yomi recently about why it's what the sheikh is between Yaris and Devash is. But the Yaris Devash was the drushes that Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz gave to his kehillah. He was a great rav. And his kehillah, he used to give these fire and brimstone drushes. Brilliant drushes, but he was very charismatic, very passionate. And by all accounts, he brought people to tshuva. And he had a very difficult life, Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz. And a lot of that is seen in his Sefer Yaris Devash. It's a lot of it is like autobiographical shmuzin sometimes. And he deals with this pasuk. Of all psukim, he deals with this pasuk. He tells us what David HaMelech meant. He's helping us solve the riddle of David HaMelech through the harp. And he says, how does a harp work? And this is true, of course, for all string instruments, whether it's a guitar, whether it's a violin, whether it's a cello, a lyre, whatever the instrument of choice is, but it's sort of all in the same family. You have strings that are very tightly wound on the instrument. If you have a guitar, and sometimes, you know, you buy these cheap guitars and then your kid brother, like, opens it up and now the strings are all, like, loose, the wires are, you can't do anything with it. It's basically throw it in the garbage, because you can't play a string instrument unless the strings are very, very tight. They have to be extremely tightly wound in order for it to make any music, of course. And then in order to play this musical instrument, you have to have the harpist or the guitar player pluck the individual strings, meaning you pull them even tighter, you make them even more tense, and then you let them loose. And that sound, that reverberation of the tightly wound strings being pulled even tighter and applying more pressure to them, and then releasing it from that pressure, that's what emits the most beautiful, most richest sounds, which is the harp. That's the way that a harp works. That's the mahus of a harp. Says Rabbi Yonis Naibershitz, and this is purely autobiographical, he says, this is what life is all about. This is particularly what David HaMelech's life was all about. Because everybody knows that David HaMelech was a king, but he was like the poorest king in the world, not wealth-wise. But he had so many tsaras. His life was a tragic life in a sense. It was a glorious life, but it was tragic in the sense that he suffered so greatly. There were so many episodes in his life that if we would have even 5 minutes of any of those episodes, we probably would not go on living because they were so traumatic for him. From when he was a young boy and he was like voted least likely to succeed in his family. He had strong, very handsome brothers, and he was not in that category, and they didn't reckon with him. They didn't feel that he was even like one of their brothers. He writes in Hallel, Evan ma su habainim ais l'reish pina. The Evan, the stone that everybody threw away, that everybody despised, ma su habainim, the builder said, this is not a stone that we could even use in the structure that we're building. Hais l'reish pina, that ultimately became the cornerstone, the spitz stone, the cornerstone of a building is the most chash of a stone. That's when, you know, you see on the side of these buildings, these cornerstones that have a big ceremony with it, and everybody looks at that stone. Nobody looks at all the other million bricks on the building. They look at that cornerstone. That was David HaMelech saying about himself. I was the brick that everybody wanted to throw away. They were disgusted by me. They didn't think that I would amount to anything. And I ultimately, Baruch Hashem, triumphed, and I became the Reish Pina. I became the cornerstone of Klal Yisrael. But going on throughout his whole life, whether it was the Maisa with Bathsheba and all the guilt and all the tshuva that he did from that Maisa, whether it was the fact that he had people trying to kill him all the time, Shaul HaMelech was chasing after him, and he had a son, Avshalom, that was rebelling against his own father. I mean, can you imagine what David HaMelech went through? And these are just a few of the incidents that he went through. He had tremendous tsaras in his life, David HaMelech. Meaning he was a harp. He was a harp that the strings were so tight, the tsara that he had, the tension in his life was so dominant. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created more tension in his life. People were plucking at his harp strings. People were making him crazy with his life chasing him and never giving him a minute of menucha. His Yetzirah didn't give him menucha, and his family didn't give him menucha, and his nation sometimes didn't give him menucha. But from that tension, David HaMelech was the Ne'im Zmiris Yisrael. The beautiful sefer of Tehillim is a sefer that Klal Yisrael reaches for every time we have our own tsaras, because this was a book that's drenched in David HaMelech's tears. David HaMelech did not live the life of Riley. He was not living Berumei Shel Olam and having a perfect day every day. The sun was not shining every day on David HaMelech. But if the sun had been shining every day on David HaMelech, we would not have Sefer Tehillim. It might have been a different book, but it wouldn't be, maybe it would be Shir HaShirim or something. It would not be Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim was the Zmiris, the Seshpachis, the great hymns that David HaMelech emitted from his harp. The more that he was plucked, the more that people dealt harshly with him, the more that he suffered in life, he never gave in. He never said, I'm mad at the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm mad at my life, what was the day that I was born? Never did he have yish, never did he get despondent, get depressed, throw in the towel. He channeled all of that tzara into beautiful shiras and sishpachas the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sort of reminds me as I'm speaking of the story with Reb Baruch Ber when he was a little child and he did something wrong, whatever that might have been to Reb Baruch Ber. Probably, you know, he didn't return a book to the library on the day that it was due or something. I don't know what Reb Baruch Ber could have ever done wrong. But his father gave him a patch. And then I guess his father-in-law felt a little guilty that he gave him a patch, so he came to his room a few minutes later and he saw that Baruch Ber was davening mincha. So he waited for him to finish mincha and he said, why were you davening mincha now? I just gave you a patch. He said, because I was crying and I wanted those tears to be harnessed and to be channeled towards the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Like, why waste a good tear? If I'm crying anyway, let me use those tears to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom. That's what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech took all of the tzaras, all of the challenges, all of the detractors, all the haters, all of the pressures, all of the tensions, all of the stresses, all the adversities, and he triumphed through it. He didn't let those things get him down. It made him greater. It made him stronger. It made the music resonate so much more beautifully because of those tzaras. He channeled all of that into the greatest shiras and sishpachas known to man, precisely because of those tzaras. The most beautiful music is always the music of depression, people that are sad and they're singing songs of sad music. It's beautiful. There's a beauty to it. But David HaMelech didn't just sing sad songs. He sang happy songs to the Rabbeinu Shalom through the tears of sadness. He praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that only he could because of what he went through. Eftach Bechinar Chidasi. You want to know who I am. You want to solve my riddle, says David HaMelech. Look at the harp. That's always my appendage because the harp is me. You want to understand me? Look at my harp. The more you pluck it, the more tightly wound those strings are, and the more you apply tension and pressure and pull it tighter, and then you let it go, that's me. My music is the music of the heart. My music is the music of tension of the soul. And all of that tension was not wasted. It was beautified. It was glorified to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You have to say the Vart of the Kutzker now. The Kutzker has a beautiful vart in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Be, Tzadi Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara is a very strange Gemara. It says that Bikesh Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha wanted to sing Shirat HaShem, of all people in the universe, to sing Shirat HaShem. Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to compose a musical lyric to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Okay? Bar Gavriel, Gavriel HaMalach comes, the Sotar Al-Piv, he gives him a patch across the face, Nebuchadnezzar. And then Rabbi Yitzchak says, you know, it's a good thing that that happened. You know why? Because if Nebuchadnezzar would have actually had the ability to sing, Bikesh Leganais Kol Shireis V'Sishpachesh Sha'amar David B'Sefer Tehillim, he would have eclipsed with his talent, with his beautiful Nigin, Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, would have eclipsed the, and he would have been Megani, would have almost like shamed and disgraced and sullied all of this Shiris and Sishpachas of David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim, Kaviyachal, if you can imagine such a thing. So it was good that he got that patch. Very strange Gemara. The Kutzker Rebbe asks, what is this Gemara talking about? We don't believe in free trade. This is Russia over here. We believe in we have to clamp down on any protesters. If Nebuchadnezzar has the ability to to sing a beautiful song to Hashem, let him sing. And if it's a nicer song than David HaMelech, then competition is good. Maybe David HaMelech will up his game or something. I don't know. I know historically what you're all thinking. Okay, fine, but you know what I'm saying. If Nebuchadnezzar was able to sing a nicer song, so good, so competition is good. Let him sing a song. Let the best man win. If they were going to have a talent show, so let it be fair. What, if somebody's a better talent than I, then we have to kill him? We have to patch him across the face so he doesn't outshine me? If he outshines David HaMelech, he's singing a song to Rabbi Hashem. Let him sing a song to Rabbi Hashem. It's hard to me. It bothers me. This is the Kotzker Rebbe's Shaila. And if you think the Kasha is a good Kasha, then you ain't seen nothing yet. Because you have to hear his teretz. And you have to be the Kotzker to say this teretz. He says that it doesn't mean that we patched him in order to get him to stop singing his song. We patched him in order to test him. In order to even the playing field. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a king that did have the sun shining on him. He was sitting in an air-conditioned palace. Berumei Shalaylam, he had everything going for him. He had all of his enemies he trounced. He never had a bad day, you know, up until that point. So he was, you know, it wasn't such a chiddush that he's singing songs to the Rebbe. When things are going good, we can all sing and, you know, daven a good Shemayne Esrei. What happens when things are turning against us? When the shidduch that we were waiting for, you know, didn't turn out the way we thought it would? Or when the stock that we bought went against us, and now we're losing a lot of money instead of making a lot of money. Or I thought I was getting a certain internship in the summer and it didn't work out. Or I thought that I was going to get a promotion in my law firm and I was passed over. How's your Shemayne Esrei that day? So if everything is great, we could daven a geshmak Shemayne, when I get the promotion, when the stock's going up, when the shidduch is just smooth and going smoothly, Shkayach, you're able to sing a beautiful song of Shemayne Esrei. What happens when it doesn't? David HaMelech never had that. David HaMelech had one bad day after another bad day, one bad experience after another bad experience. He was always being patched. He had nothing but patches every day of his life, and he still was able to sing Shira to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Nebuchadnezzar, you want to sing Shira to the Rebbeinu Shalom? Fine, sing it. But before you sing it, let's give you a little patch. And now see if you sing or not. You still singing? As soon as he got a little patch, you know what he did? He hung up his harp. He says, okay, I'm out. I'm out. I'm angry at the Rebbeinu Shalom. How could a Malach come and patch me? Oh, so you mean you're singing when things are good. When things go bad for you, you're not singing. You don't try to have the chutzpah to be Magana, the Shiras, and Tishpachas of David HaMelech. Say, well, I'm a better lyricist than David HaMelech. You're not. Because you're singing lyrics when you're living in a euphoria, when you're living in a utopia. That's not the same as what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech was living in Saris, in terrible matzavim after terrible matzavim, and he still was able to shine and sing this beautiful song of the Kinar. That's greatness. When you're able to sing when things are not gishmak, and you're still saying the same halal, you're still saying the same haidah to the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's what made David HaMelech David HaMelech. The patch was not to stop him, the patch was to test Nebuchadnezzar. You want to go toe-to-toe with David HaMelech, fine, take a patch and see how you sing then. And he stopped. Like we all stop. It's not just Nebuchadnezzar. We do this all the time ourselves. David HaMelech never did that. David HaMelech says, you want to be me? You want to figure out who I am and try to emulate me? Look at my kinar. Don't just sing when things are great, when things are geschmack. Sing when there's tension, when the strings are taut, when they're tightly wound, and then somebody pulls you even tighter and the stress is unbearable. And then daven a mincha. And then channel all of that song to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's when you'll really be able to shine in a beautiful way. The Beis Halevi used to say a chiddush de kapshat in a pasuk in Hallel. Oidecha ki ani soni batihi lishua. The simple pshat is, I thank you Hashem, I praise you Hashem ki ini soni, because you have answered me, like a lashon of aina, and you are from me Yeshua. You answered my prayers. Geshmak. Zakta Beis Levi, no. Oidecha ki ani sani, ini sani means a lashon of inui. I praise you, Hashem, because you have tortured me. You have oppressed me. You have made my life so difficult. You have made me have such stress in my life. And I sing to you even in the stress. And that's what makes David HaMelech unique of all the other personalities in history. And that's why a Yid always pulls for the Sefer Tehillim when they're in Tzaris. You know why? Because then suddenly we can all relate to David HaMelech, because the stresses that he went through, and he's able to sing these songs. These are songs that are special to a Yid in Tzara. Because when we're in Tzaris, that's the time to really up our game of praising the Rebbe. It's not a time to run away from the Rebbe Shalom like we generally tend to do. We get angry at him. That's not a time to get angry. That's a time to praise him. And when we praise him, that's the greatest form of Shira in the world. I wanted to suggest a different pshat in this pasuk of Eftach Bechinar Chidasi. That if you want to solve my riddle, you'll use my harp. Totally different pshat than Rabbanus and Eibeshitz, if I may. And I think this pshat is, the first pshat is definitely very life-altering, if you hear what I'm saying, and I know you all do. But the second pshat, I think, might be very practical for us to take with us, and that's why I wanted to make it the closer shmooze of this man. And it's very sad that this is the close. The Zman was sad, I think. I was just in the Beis Medrash yesterday to return some Svarim, pick up some new Svarim, and it's sad. It's like, it's an empty, dark Beis Medrash. It's longing for us to come back and Mirtz Hashem soon. But it was a sad Zman, I think. But I think we were able, for the most part, many of us at least, to really triumph over the sadness and to become great, like David HaMelech. But I think this is another pshat that we could take with us this summer. And I think that if we take it to heart, it'll be a different summer for all of us, myself included. Did you ever notice that it's really hard to learn? When it comes to other things, like when it comes to davening, I don't have a problem davening. I go to Shacharis, Mincha, Meirev when I can, and I enjoy going. It's geshmak, and you pull out your siddur, and you daven to the Rabbi Nisham. It's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable experience. I love sitting in a sukkah. I love going to chasnas and being mesamecha chasen and kala. I love mitzvahs. I enjoy doing lulav and esrog and matzahs. These are special things. And I like learning also, don't get me wrong. But did you ever notice, or maybe it's just me, that sometimes you sit down with a Gemara, and first of all, just to open up that Gemara is like, it weighs 10,000 pounds, the cover of a Gemara sometimes. Like, I can open up any newspaper, any magazine, it's geschmack. That Gemara, to open that Talmud Bavli, it's like, to get it open. Once you're opening it, it's much easier, but to open it, to finally open it, it's difficult sometimes. It's difficult. And then even when you're learning, and suddenly you get a text, or somebody's calling you, or somebody says, hey, you want to go for a walk, or you want to take a bike ride, or you want to, or maybe there's some video that you wanted to watch, and suddenly, somebody sends you a link to it, or you want to go for a coffee, you want to get a tea, you want to get a donut. Every distraction in the book is suddenly there right when you're learning. Do I want to get a donut like any other time of the day? No. But when you're learning, all of a sudden you need that donut. You need that coffee. What do you need a coffee for? You couldn't do it before davening? No, I didn't need it before davening. In the middle of Seder, all of a sudden, that's when I need the coffee. That's when I wanted to, I wanted to schmooze with my chavrusa. All of a sudden, I have no interest in my chavrusa the rest of the day, but all of a sudden, I find them like pretty geschmack to talk to during Seder. Why does that happen? The answer is, the Rebbe Chanan used to quote the Chafetz Chaim, his Rebbe, is saying the following part. Taira is such a chashuva mitzvah, he said. Taira is the most chashuva mitzvah in the world by far. If tefillin is worth $100, a word of Torah is worth $10 trillion. That's how chashuv Torah is, every word of Torah. It's an impossible, it's an indescribable mitzvah. So that's why the Eitz Hara is not going to waste his bullets, waste his ammunition on mitzvahs. He says, the Eitz Hara will let you do any mitzvah that you want. Take a mitzvah. You want to drive around the mitzvah tank through the streets of Manhattan, go for it. He couldn't care less. But as soon as you open up a Gemara, or you want to open up a Gemara, be careful. Because the Eitz Hara has you in his crosshairs. He does not want you to learn because the schar of Liman HaTorah is something that he does not want you to get. So he will let you do any mitzvah in the world. You want to daven a whole day, cry, say Sefer Tillim back and forth every which way, go for it. You will have zero resistance. You want to buy a nice lulav and esrog, you want to sit in a sukkah, you want to, you know, anything you want, go for it. No one's stopping you. No, there's no problem. Go. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's relatively easy. But when it comes to Liman HaTorah, because it's so powerful and it's so holy, the Eitz Hara puts all of his ammunition. He gives you a full court press every single time you want to start dribbling the Torah basketball down the court, if you will. There will be 10 LeBron James all over you trying to get that ball away from you. That's the way it is. That's always the way it is. So it's not just you and it's not just me. I think it's all of us. And everybody in the world has this. Everybody has this. Everybody has this challenge when it comes to Liman HaTorah. This is our number one struggle. And especially, you know, if we're in the Zaman, when the Shanamar Kitikunam, when everything is going well, it's still hard, but at least we have a Beis Medrash. At least we have our Chavrusa, we have our Rebbeim, we have our Shir, we have our Mar Mekaymis. Everything is nice and neat and packaged well. So it's less challenge. It's still a challenge, of course, but it's less so. But when we're home and we don't have all of those protective walls of the Beis Medrash that we have in yeshiva, and we're on our own, and there's maybe a cable TV in the other room, and then there's friends calling us, and we have a bicycle in the garage, or we have a car, or there's a pizza store down the block, and there's ice cream, and there's or whatever it makes it 1,000 times harder to learn than it does even in yeshiva. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to learn? And this is maybe a shmuz we should have given before this man. But now that the zman is really winding down to a close and we don't even have the Zoom for the most part, the Zoom zman, and again, just a quick plug or whatever, is that if you're interested in a shmuz then, and we have a critical mass of guys interested, then I, Bli Neder, will try as best I can to prepare a shmuz on Fridays. But I want to hear feedback on that. But to get through a Zman without the regular Shiurim, without a Rabbein, without a Rashiva, without, you know, the Vaden and everything that we have in Yeshiva, throughout 2.5 months, which is an eternity, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be able, myself included, maybe myself more than you, how am I going to be able to sit down with the Gemara, sit down with the Chumash, sit down with the Mishnah Berurah and learn without distraction? It's like almost asking the impossible. What's the answer to this question? This is a riddle. This is the riddle of our life. Because if we want to be Bnei Torah and we want to be Talmid Chacham, and who doesn't? Then we have to be able to figure out a way of getting rid of those distractions that we have, those things that we really enjoy doing, and we enjoy them so much more when suddenly we should be learning. How do we get those out of our way so that we're able to sit and learn? That's the $64,000 question. That's the riddle of our life. David HaMelech was a person who was in love with Torah. He was infatuated with Torah. He loved it. All the greatest songs that we have about Torah are David HaMelech's words. Ma hafti sayrasecha kol hayom yisichasi. How much do I love the Torah all day? It's all I shmuz about day and night. Who wrote that? That's a pasuk in Tehillim. That's David HaMelech's song. Rav Shach didn't write those words. That's David HaMelech's words. Who wrote the words lulei sayrascha shashuai oz avadati ba'ani? That were it not for Torah that I take pleasure and that I delight in, I would have been lost in my poverty. Rav Aaron Cutler used to used to interrupt that song. He loved that song, the famous Lulei Sarasandigan that was written by his Talmud, Rav Shlomo Karlebach, and they used to sing it by his Tishin, and he would stop the Eilim in the middle of singing that song, and he would say, stop the music for a second. L'man Hashem, who's singing these words? Who's writing these words? It's David HaMelech. Oz avadati ba'ani, I would have been lost in my poverty. Is that a fair statement to make, David HaMelech? Who's talking? Was this a homeless guy in the street? This is David HaMelech. He was a melech. He was a trillionaire. He had the entire treasury of Klal Yisrael at his disposal. What does it mean, I would have been lost in my poverty? But that's what David HaMelech felt like. He says, if not for Torah, I might as well be a homeless guy because I have nothing if not for Torah. In other words, David HaMelech was obsessed. He was enamored by Torah, period. But David had something that he loves as well. There was something that was his escape, if you will. And that was his kinar. David HaMelech was the Ne'im Zmir Yisrael. He was a master musician. He loved his kinar. The kinar was him. And of course, he used the kinar not to, for his own self-aggrandizement. He used the kinar to sing praise to Klal Yisrael. He used his talents very, very well. But that was his distraction. As much as he used it as an instrument, but it was distracting him from Torah to a certain degree. If my distraction might be that I like ice cream, or I like video games, or I like listening to music, David HaMelech's music was his distraction from Torah. And David HaMelech is saying, if you want to get the answer to the riddle of life, of how to be a Ben Torah with all the distractions, with all of our ice cream and video games and videos and all the things, the creature comforts that are tugging at our attention to get us away from our Gemara, the answer to the riddle is my kinar. Look at my kinar, explore it, and that will be the answer to your riddle. There's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara says that Kinar Hayataloi Lamaila Mimitasa Shel David. David HaMelech went to sleep every night, and there was his harp that was hanging over his bed every night. V'kivan Sheigia Chatzais Halayla. As soon as Chatzais came, as soon as midnight came, there was a wind that blew, and it played the chords of David HaMelech's harp. And it was like an alarm clock for David HaMelech. It was an alarm clock for David HaMelech, and it woke him up. And the Gemara says, well, there's actually two Gemaras. They're both darshaning the same pasuk, but it's still a Gemara in Brachos there. The pasuk that it's darshaning is, Chatzais Laila Akum lahaydes lachal mishpatei tzekacha. At chatzais, at midnight, I will get up lahaydes lacha to praise you al mishpatei tzekacha. So one Gemara says, and it sort of is like a steer almost in Gemaras maybe, one Gemara says that the pshat in that pasuk is that David HaMelech woke up at chatzais alayla, and what did he do? He was asak b'shiris v'shishpachis. He took that harp, and he started playing his beautiful shiras and sishbachas to the Rabbi Nishlam. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara there that says that Chatzais Lala, when that harp started playing and woke him up, Miyad haya oimed v'aisik batayra at sha'olo amen ha-shachar. He didn't play no musical instruments the rest of the night and sing shiras and sishbachas to the Rabbi Nishlam. He sat down with his Baba Kama, with his Baba Metzia, with the Shabbos, and he learned. He steiged the whole night from Chatzai Salayel until Amen HaShachar. He was busy steiging and learning. So I have two questions. First of all, my first question on this Gemara is, first of all, which one is it? What did he do? Practically. Is it a machlekes, a mitzias, whether or not he sang his, he played his harp, or he learned Torah? And let's say he learned Torah. How do they teach up that pasuk? It's quoting that same pasuk. Chatzais Laila Akam Lahaides Lacha Mishpatei. I woke up at Chatzais Laila Lahaides Lacha to give praise to you on Mishpatei Tzikacha. I understand if you're saying that he used his harp to sing shirs. That's Lahaides Lacha, to give you praise. How is learning Torah the same thing? That's not simple. That's a little gekvetched in the pasuk. I woke up Lahaides. Just say, I woke up to learn Mishpatei Tzikacha. What's Lahaides Lacha on Mishpatei Tzikacha? Two questions that always bother me with this Gemara. To answer that second question, I always wanted to say, based on a Rambam, the Rambam says in Hilchas Talmud Torah at the end of Parak Gimel, Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim used to say, Ein Rina Shal Torah Ela Balayla, Shenemar Kumi Raini Balayla. There is no Rina Shal Torah. The song of Torah. Torah is not just a scholarly endeavor. Torah is a song. But when is that song heard? Ein Rina Shal Torah. When is the Rina Shal Torah? When is that? When Ela Balayla, it's at night. First Seder is beautiful. Second Seder is beautiful. But at night, there's a Rina Shal Torah. There's a special song, a music, a concerto of Torah is really be'ikar at night. That's the Rambam says. He says that most of a person's chachma is learned at night. Night is a special time. I used to have a Rebbe who said something. It's a little bit, you have to know who he is, but, and I always hesitate before I say it, but I think we're with mature adults, so I can, you might understand what I'm saying. He says that in the mornings, when you learn first Seder, he says, it's like you're meeting a girl for the first time. When you learn first Seder and you learn that the sugya for the first time, you're meeting the girl for the first time. And please, again, understand this in the right context. He says at night Seder, or after night Seder, when you're learning that Gemara again, he says it's like you're having an affair with that girl. It's a different experience. There's a depth to learning at night. There's a Rina Shel Torah at night that in the morning you just don't have. Morning is good, first Seder is geshmak, and you had a good first Seder. But when you're able to learn at night, when everything is calm outside, and there's no, the light is not shining in your face, and you're not like tired from waking up, and you need a coffee, and you need, at night everything is good, you have Baruch Hashem, you have food in your stomach, you feel comfortable, there's a nichusa in the air. Now you're able to go back to that Gemara and be able to see it in a different light. To be able to have an affair with the Gemara, with the Torah itself, to have a relationship that's unparalleled at night. Ein Rina Shel Torah Balayla. That is a music, that's a sound that you only will find, will only resonate really at night. And I was thinking that that might be the pshat in this pasuk. When David HaMelech wakes up at Chatzais HaLayla and starts his shteiging and learning, he says, Chatzais Layla, it's not just I'm learning Mishpatei Tzikacha. Chatzais Layla Akon Lahaydais Lucha. It's a song, it's a gratitude, it's a concerto of Mishpatei Tzikacha. It's Lahaydais Lucha. It's a halal to the Rabbeinu Shlom, the Torah that he's learning at night. So that answers the second question. My first question, I mean, unless you're just saying that it's two different drushas in Chazal, which you're more than welcome to say, but it's not going to help me out a whole lot this morning. I wanted to say a different pshat. I want to say it's not, these are not two medrashim that are chaylik with each other. That one says David HaMelech woke up and sang shiras and sheshbachas the Rabbeinu Shalom with his harp, and the other one says that he learned Torah the entire night. Really, he learned Torah. He learned Torah. But you know what he did? He said, boy, I would really love now. It's a beautiful night. I was just woken up by the lovely sounds of my violin. Let me take that violin and let me just jam the whole night, sing shiras. Let me compose beautiful music to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Wouldn't that be beautiful tonight to do? That would be amazing. And that's Chas V'Shalom. That wouldn't be Bittul Torah, of course. That's David HaMelech's Tehillim. But relative to learning Abaye V'Rava, it is. So what David HaMelech did, L'fi Ani Yastaiti, and you could argue with me, but David HaMelech says, listen, I want now to use that talent, that creativity, that love, that musical escape that I have, that one love that I have other than Torah, I would love, it would be so geschmack to just sit the whole night and compose music to the Rabbeinu Shalom, sublime praises of David HaMelech, the Nimzimir Yisrael. That would be incredible. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all of that love and all of that passion, all that ambition, all that creativity, and I'm going to harness it and channel it into my Limud HaTorah. I'm going to sing, but I'm going to sing the Rina Shel Torah. I'm going to take that talent, all of that interest that I have in the other thing that is tempting me, and I'm going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I dedicate that to you. I'm taking the love of my life, the thing that I love the most, and I'm giving that to you. I'm putting that into the Torah. And you know how much more chashuv the Torah becomes then? So don't look at your distraction as being, I'm human, I can't, I'm going to go watch that video. I'm human, I can't, I'm going to go listen to that music. Say, I want to listen to the music, and I'm going to take that music, take that video, take that baseball game, take that basketball game, and I'm going to put it into the Limud HaTorah and make the Torah my Rina. And I've just basically upgraded my entire schar for Limud HaTorah, the entire experience. I've made it not just a raw endeavor of learning ancient Talmudic texts. I've now made it into a Rina Shel Torah. I've injected life into it, spirit into it, love into it, passion into it. And when you give that to the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom will give you that much love back to the Avas HaTorah that you want so badly. The way to get Avas HaTorah is give Ava to the Torah. Give what you love and dedicate that to the Torah. Challenge yourself when you're about to do something to be mevatel yourself from Torah. Say, I really want to do that. I want to shmooze in my chavrusa now. I want to call my good friend instead of learning. No one would know any better. If I'll learn later in the day. Right now, I'm not in the mood. Say, I want to do those things, but instead, I'm going to look at the kina. I'm going to look at David HaMelech's harp. That's the answer to my riddle. David HaMelech took his harp. He wanted to play that harp. He woke up to the harp. That was his alarm clock. It would have been a perfect segue for him to continue playing throughout the whole night, shiras and shvachas, which he naturally wanted. And it wasn't a yetzahara. It was a good thing, obviously. But it's not Torah. And David HaMelech was able to make the Torah his rina. His song was his Torah. As talented as he was, but he took all of that talent and he put it into the Torah. I guess the best story that I could use to illustrate what I just said is a story that's a contemporary one, or relatively contemporary, involving Reb Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Reb Eliashiv, I don't know how many of you know, but Reb Eliashiv, besides being the Masmid Hadar, the Paisik Hadar, the Gadol Hadar, the Tzadik Hadar, the Kaddish Hadar, besides for all of that, he also happened to have had a beautiful voice. He loved music, believe it or not. He had an affection for music. He loved Torah. It's not a type of disaster. He loved both. When he was a young man, maybe a teenager, or maybe a little bit older, the famed Chazan, the Chazan Hadar, the greatest Chazan of the generation, and maybe the greatest Chazan of all Jewish history, arguably, or at least recent Jewish history, was a chazan by the name of Yossele Rosenblatt. Yossele Rosenblatt, if you Google him, you'll find a ton about him. He was the gadol of chazanis of all time. If you enjoy chazanis, like that's, you're gonna, you know, love Yossele Rosenblatt. He was it. He was the chazan's chazan's chazan. And Yossele Rosenblatt lived in America, but he went to Eretz Yisrael on a trip, and he was supposed to sing in the Churva Synagogue, I believe it was. It was like a concert, a Chazanah's concert. They still have them today. And Reb Eliashiv, young Reb Eliashiv, was very, very tempted to hear him because he loved Chazanah's. He had a great music. Here was Yossele Rosenblatt. When's the next time he's coming to Eretz Yisrael? I think he died like maybe a few weeks later, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. He was a Chad B'dayre. I'm never going to get a chance, another chance to hear him. Everybody's talking about him. This was before they had, you know, tapes and records. And when am I going to hear Yossele Rosenblatt again? So he actually bought a ticket to go to the Churva Synagogue to hear him in concert. And he started walking the night of the concert. He started walking from his house in Mea Shearim to the hall, to the Churba synagogue in the Old City. And as he was walking to the concert, he stopped. And he said to himself, I want to listen to this concert more than I want to do anything else. But on the other hand, maybe I should be learning now. And learning is more important than this concert. And he started walking back, and he walked back, and he saw Talmid Chacham walking to the concert. And he says, oh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I could go also. If Talmid Chacham are going, it's a kosher thing, it's a good Yetzirah, I'm going to go. But he stopped himself again in his tracks. He says, no, I have a ticket in hand, I could go, I would enjoy it like no other Hanah to me. This was his kinar, literally. And he stopped himself and he says, I'm going to put that love into my learning of Torah. He went back to his Beis Medrash, and all of that pent-up passion for Chazanis, to listen to Yasla Rosenblatt, he put into his Gemara. And he sang in his Gemara, like he always sang. He had a famous niggun that he sang when he was learning, and people used to like pass by the little shtibel that he learned in Mea Sharim his entire life. And they all knew that niggun. The people from Old Yerushalayim knew. They would just like hear it echoing in the chambers of that Beis Medrash. And he started singing and putting all of his heart and soul into his Gemara. And Rav Eliashiv would say for the rest of his life that that was the breakout moment. He became great in learning. That night is when his rocket ship took off, launched. Because he was able to take his kinar, and instead of naturally using it for his own love, his own passionate talent, creativity, which is a wonderful thing, by the way. This is not at all saying that if you have a musical talent, you should not use it. And you know, that there's a time and a place for everything. But when you're learning Torah, when you have a Seder in learning, and you're able to not fight it and struggle with it, should I, shouldn't I, should I, say to the Rabbi Hashem, let's make a deal. I want to go and be Mevatel Torah. I want to go now with my friends to the park. I want to play basketball right now. I want to watch that movie. I want to watch that, listen to, you know, a certain song or go to a whatever. But I'm going to put all of that interest that I have in doing those things, I'm going to put it into my learning. I'm going to give that Abba to you, Rabbeinu Shlalom. And then look out, because you might be the next Rabbi Yashiv. That's what happened to David HaMelech. I don't know if those psukim of Mahapti Sarasecha Mulei Saraska Shashuai happened when he was a bacher. I think it happened beyond. When he stopped playing his kinar the whole night, half a night of Shirs and Shbachas, and instead said, I want to do that. That's what my plans are, but now it's enough. Now I want to give over that music and give it over to you. And sing the Rina Shaltar Balaila Chatzais Laila Akum Mahaydes L'chamish B'dei Tzakecha. I did the Kinar thing. I wrote to him. But now I want to give all of that love to you, Rabbeinu Shlomo. I want to give it to you. That's David HaMelech. That's the riddle answered. That's the solution to the riddle. Give what you want. Be a human. Acknowledge what you love. Don't say, I'm so from, I don't like to. Say, no, I like doing that. I like doing that. I love basketball. Okay, but as much as I love basketball, I love you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, and I'm giving up my basketball game for First Seder. You know what that means in Shemayim? You know how the whole heavens tumble when a person could say that? I'll tell you a maisa that's gonna make your heads blow off. And I want to see that, by the way. So whoever's head is not showing right now, I want to see it right now, okay? I want everybody to be online. Listen to this maisa. You're not going to get over. This is a maisa you'll remember the rest of your life, I promise. I had a Talmud, did a little research last night to figure out what the year was. I think it was 2009, okay? This is an amazing Talmud, a regular geshmaka guy. He loved the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was from Pittsburgh. That's the only hint I'm giving you to who it is. He loved the Steelers more than life itself. He had all the Steelers merch. He had sweatshirts, scarves, hats, boots. Yeah, everything Steelers. Steelers was his life, literally. He spoke kol hayom yisichasi, the whole day he was talking Steelers, Steelers, Steelers. That's all he hacked about, day and night, Steelers. Now the Steelers that year made it to the Super Bowl. They made it, you know, earlier, they made it in 2006, this is 2009. They made it to the Super Bowl. Now, okay, this boy, this was like his Olam Haba, literally. This was his, you know, there is no bigger height of ecstasy than when your team that you love makes it to the end and now is fighting it out play by play to win the Super Bowl. That's it. It doesn't get better. Life does not get better. And if you have like doggies, you have a hot dog, a hamburger, onion rings, while you're watching it, it's mamish the Gan Eden Elyon. I came to the Beis Medrash that night. And I literally almost fainted because during the Super Bowl, this Steelers fan, maybe the biggest Steelers fan in the world, was sitting by his Gemara and learning Abaye Verava. I can't make up this story. I'm telling you, you're not going to read this in a book because you wouldn't believe it if you didn't see it with your own eyes. At the end of Seder, I went over to him and I said, you got to tell me something. Do you know, maybe your watch is wrong, maybe you need a new calendar or something, but do you realize that this isn't Stama night today, this is the Steelers night? He says, I know. I said, so Laman Hashem, why are you not watching the game? Why are you not watching the game? This is what he told me, okay? Kimat b'zeh alashen. He says, Rebbe, I'm not a rich guy. I don't have a lot of money. I can't give a lot of money to tzedakah. I can't support Yisai Min Almanis. I'm not a big hacker. I can't save Klal Yisrael with Vat Hatzalas. I'm not a Hatzalah guy. I'm not a Chaverim guy. There's one thing that I have in my life. The one thing that I have in my life is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what I have. That's me. That's my Kinar. That's my harp. That's what I love. I said to the Rabbi Nishlam, it's hard for me to learn. Learning is always a challenge to me. But this is what I do for you right now. I'm giving you the greatest gift that I have, and I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving you the Pittsburgh Steelers right here on a silver platter. I'm learning in the baseball. You don't know how much I want to watch that game. You don't know how much I want to know whether we're winning, whether we're losing, who's making the big plays, how many interceptions, how many touchdowns. You don't know what I would give to watch that. And I'll see the highlights later. But this is what I'm giving to you, Rabbi Nishlam. I'm giving you the greatest gift that I personally have. That's what I have. It's all I have. I'm giving that up to you. And when you do that, it makes a roshim. The malachim yechafezun, the chiller ada yechazun, the yaimer hine yaim adin. This is a yaim adin. It's a day of judgment for all of us. Every seder that we have is a day of judgment. Are we going to pass or are we going to fail? Are we going to opt out? Are we going to cop out like we always do and say, yeah, you know, it's the summertime. I want to chill. I want to do this. I want to go that way. Or are we going to be strong? So it's very hard to fight the Eight Sahara without getting some payback. If there's no payout, it's hard. Like, yeah, I know Tyra is Chashev and it's a turbocharged mitzvah. I get that. But I it's the summer. I want to chill. I want to go here. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to the park. I want to go to the swim, to pool, to camp. I want to do stuff. I want to do my stuff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. He gets it. He's not stupid. He knows what makes us tick. He gets it. He's God. When we're able to say, here's my kinar. This is what I love. I'm giving it to you. Here's the deal. I'm giving it to you. Give me back Avas HaTaira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that deal every time. He takes that deal every time. Try him. We're always complaining. Me, you, everybody. I don't have Avas HaTaira. What should I do? This guy seems to have a Geshmak in Taira. This guy has and I don't have a Geshmak in Taira. You know why we don't have a Geshmak in Taira? Because we don't give up anything to the Taira. We do it on our terms when it interests us, and when it doesn't interest us, then, you know, we're the first to fly the coop. When you start giving something to somebody, that's when you care about the person. Ava, we all know, is from a Lashon of Hav, give. You want Ava Satira? You have to give to the Torah. What are you giving to the Torah? What are you going to give? You have the money to make Hachnasa Sefer Torah? You have $45,000 lying around to buy a Sefer Torah? What are you giving to the Torah? You're going to donate a Sefer to Yeshiva? That's a nice thing to do. What are you giving to the Torah? What's your harp that you're going to dedicate to the Torah? David HaMelech's Kinar is his Chida. The mystery of life, how I'm going to be able to be a Talmud Chacham, that burning riddle that plagues us all, David HaMelech saying, I have the answer. My answer to the riddle is my harp. Watch what I do. I have a harp over my bed, easy. I could play the harp the whole night, and I could justify it. It's Tehillim, it's beautiful, it's Tyra. Great. Or I could go to my Gemara and learn. I have a choice. Guns versus butter? Right? If anyone takes economics, they know that there's the choices that economists always deal with, guns versus butter, right? You have a choice to make in life. Guns versus butter. Do you take the harp? Do you take the Torah? A or B? David HaMelech says, watch what I do. I take the Torah, and I say, I'm giving the harp to you, Rabbeinu Shlom. Chatzais laila akam lahaydes l'cha mishpatei tzakacha. I would easily love to sit in the whole night strum to you, shiras and shvachas, but I'm not going to take that path tonight. I'm going to put myself into Liman HaTorah. I'm going to be Isaac Batera the whole night until Amar HaShachar. Put all of that music, give it to you. Give that Rina Shel Torah to you. And he became David HaMelech. And he became Rebbe Yashiv. And he became the Pittsburgh Steeler Tzaddik. He's the Pittsburgh Rebbe. He teaches us so much about life. The summer is now upon us. And we're going to have this choice every single day. If we're going to be able to make it to Elul, and hopefully in Elul we'll be able to be back in Yeshiva, and we're going to look hopefully like we do today, and we're going to have the same hashkafas, and we're going to have the same levels of ruchnias that we have today at the end of the Zman, and maybe more, there's only one way to do it, in my humble opinion. For me, for my family, for you, for your family, and spread the word, spread the shir far and wide, because I think it's gold. Eftach b'chinar chidasi. I will solve my riddle with a harp. Make your life about this harp. Recognize what your harps are. Make a list. What's my harps? Maybe it's not the Steelers, maybe it's the Giants. Maybe it's baseball, maybe it's basketball, maybe it's hockey. Maybe it's movies. Maybe it's bad friends. Maybe it's bowling and bad friends. Whatever it is. Everyone has their own, no one has to admit to what their harps are. Everybody has their own harps. And nobody's saying you should deny it. From people don't say, I have no interest anymore in the harp. That's not what a from person does. I have no interest in music anymore. Now I'm just learning all day. No one told you to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to be a human being. There's nothing wrong with having a passion for things that you're passionate about. It's a beautiful thing to have a love for music. It's a beautiful thing that's spiritual. It's a beautiful thing to have a enjoyable schmooze with a friend. It's a beautiful thing to be able to chill, to take a walk, to take a picnic, to play a game of basketball. It's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. Don't deny that. That's your harp. Good. Go for it. Enjoy it. But when it comes to Liman HaTorah, when you have a Seder in Tyra, give it up for the Tyra. Take your harp, take that list and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, here's my list. Here it is. This is my harp. This is all I have. I love these things, and I'm giving them over to you for the next hour. Do you know that hour is no longer an hour? That's a day? that 1 hour that you just gave such ahava to the Rabbeinu Shalom is like the Rabbeinu Shalom looks at you like you're Rabbi Yashin learning all day. When you learn, then learn. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you. You guys actually learn. I always say in Lander, in the basement, I'm the only guy that you see battling. Everybody else is learning. You look at my table, I'm always the battling guy. So I'm talking to myself. Give your kinar up for that hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever your seder is, give it up for the Rabbeinu Shalom, and then the kiss will come back. You're kissing the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom will kiss you back. Make that deal with the Rabbeinu, he'll take you up on it. I want Ava Satira. How do I get Ava Satira? Give Ava to the Tyra. Give Simcha to the Tyra. Give Shira to the Tyra. Give your harp to the Tyra. And then you'll find that that's a Rina Shalta. Your Tyra will become Rina Dik. Your Tyra will become so musical, so beautiful, so passionate. You'll be a symphony of Tyra. Rabbi Yashiv was a symphony. I don't know if he ever put out a Chazanah's tape, but I know that he put out massive amounts of Tyra, Piskei Halacha, of Tshuvas, of Halacha, of Agadah. Rabbi Yashiv was a Mayanah Misgaber, the Aris that he has on Shas. Maybe if he had gone to that concert and given in to the Kinar, he wouldn't have been that. He said himself he wouldn't have been that. We could trust him at his own word. If we want to have that breakout moment in the summer to really steig, to really, you know, wow ourselves, the way to do it is to follow the riddle of the Kinar of David. Eftach b'chinar chidasi. Make that challenge. See if it works. If I'm wrong, tell me that I'm wrong at the end of the summer. Or, but please tell me if I'm right, and I'll tell you if I'm right, myself. The time that we have to learn, dedicate it to learn. Afterwards, go to the park afterwards, push it off. Don't take the passion and make yourself not a passionate person. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, "Ki pagebach menuvel zem ashchel beis medrash." If you ever bump into the Eitzahara, schlep him into the beis medrash. Everybody says, "Why don't you leave him outside? What do we need more? We need more laptops in the basement. What do I have to schlep into the basement for?" The answer is that you don't want to lose the passion. The Yetzirah that you have is good. You just have to channel it the right way. If you take your passion for whatever it is, and I call it Yetzirah, I just said before that it's not Yetzirah. It's good to have passion. It's good to be musical. It's good to have an interest in poetry and in art and in science. Whatever it is that you're into, it's good. As long as it's clean, it's good. But take that passion, bring it into the Beis Medrash with you, and then your tire will explode. That's the secret of life. That's the answer to the riddle of life. Eftach b'chinar chidasi. Just follow my kinar, says David HaMelech, and you'll have the answer to all of your problems with Tyra. I learned in the morning with my son, so I was just telling him, it's a cute pshat I had in a Gemara Pesachim, but we don't have time for all the details, but I think it's an emistic pshat, but I did tell him, Agav Orcha, it was Machlegas Rav Yechin Reish Lakish, so I told him the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Dalet, about how Rav Yechanan was very handsome, he was swimming in a lake, and Reish Lakish comes into the lake and says, "Man, you're so handsome." Reish Lakish wasn't, he was a bandit. He was the head of robbers. And he said, "Boy, use your beauty for women." So Reish Lakish says, "Chelech l'iraisa, use your power for Tyra. Use all that strength." He jumped like 100 miles into all that physical prowess that you have, put it into Tyra. And he says, by the way, if you do that, he says, "You think I'm good looking," Rabbi Yechanan says, "you should see my sister." And he says, "If you become a Talmud Chacham, I'll let you marry my sister." V'kachava, he married the sister, they became Chavrusas, Rabbi Shlokesh and Rabbi Yechanan became, you know, the greatest set of Amayroim, possibly. But what you take from that Gemara is, Chelech L'Iraisa, the first impression that Rabbi Yechanan had when he saw Rabbi Shlokesh's strength, was he says, "My gosh, you have such passion, you have such talent. Harness it for Tyra. L'man Hashem, you know how powerful that is? If you give it up for Tyra, you know how great you'll be? You know how much pent-up energy that is that the Rabbeinu Shem will give you in terms of Torah? And you know what the Gemara says, by the way? The Gemara says that when he wanted to jump out of the lake, Rish Lakish, after he accepted upon himself the Eilat Torah, he wasn't able, normally be able to leap out of the lake in a simple single bound. He wasn't able, he had to mamash crawl out of the lake because he was already so drained from just the Kabbalah's HaTorah on himself. But that's what Torah is. It's like a tamura, it's like a transfer. I transfer my natural instincts, my natural talents, my natural creativity, my natural passion, my love, my obsessions, and I put that, I give that all up for the Torah. Man, all of that comes back in spades. That love of Torah, if I gave up Night Seder for the Steelers, can you imagine what the Steelers will give me? For that Night Seder, do you know how chashuv that Night Seder became? That's not a regular Night Seder. That's a Night Seder that was my life. I just gave up my life for this daf of Gemara, for this line of Gemara, for this Mishnah, for this Pirkei, whatever it is I'm learning, I gave up my life for this. That's when things really matter. That's when things count. And if we're able to use this Yisai this summer, and we remember it, and we chazer it, we will be having the most amazing summer ever. All the challenges that we have with being at home for such extended periods of time, and I know, it's not easy. It's not easy. We're going to the summer already being home for 3 months, and now we're going to be home for half a year. It's a crazy, crazy Nisayan. This is the only thing that I could offer you as an Eitzah. Don't fight it. Don't say, I want A or B back and forth, and all right, finally. Don't do it begrudgingly. Make the deal. Look at it as the challenge of your life. That's the solving of the riddle. That's the key to unlocking the mystery of how I could get through the summer, is the Kinar of David. So easy. You take the Kinar, you say to Rabbi Hashem, here's my Kinar. I want to be maided to you with a kinar, but I'm going to be maided to you. I'm going to sing the Shira of Tyre, the Rina Shal Tyre instead. And that's how David HaMelech lakstais to be David HaMelech. And all the Gedalim. And we can do the same thing as well. This could be a banner summer if we just remember this Yisayid. Be honest with yourself. Know what you like. Know your Yetzaharas. Understand your passion. Keep the passion. Don't kill it. You don't want to kill that passion. You want to keep it and channel it and harness it into Torah, and the Torah will give you back so much ava, so much passion, that your head will spin. You can come back mamish from this summer being Rabbi Akiva Eiger if you have this deal with Rabbeinu Shlom going a whole summer, I think. Anyway, that's the final shmooze. I love all of you. I miss all of you. I wish that we could have done this in person. But Baruch Hashem that we have this technology, at least to somewhat be in person. I wish you all a wonderful summer, healthy summer, safe summer, stay safe. And Mirtz Hashem, hopefully we'll be back together learning, steiging on a higher level. Kam Elul, Tav Shem Pei. And we look forward to seeing you. And please stay in touch with me throughout the summer. Mirtz Hashem, Yishuv Yizeicha, just the Simchas and Yeshuas, Refuas, and most of all, for a Ben Torah, the greatest, greatest bracha, you should have tremendous Hatzlocha and Avas HaTorah.